Well, did you notice I don't have you turn into Ephesians this morning? For those of you who are guests with us, we've been in Ephesians for a while. And we're going to be in Ephesians for a while longer. But this next message from Ephesians, as I've been anticipating and working toward it, there was just no way I could do it. And I know this is going to be a surprise to you, but it was going to be more than one part. Yeah, it really was. And because I wanted the continuity, I didn't want to have one part one week and then not have the next part the next week. But next week, we're going to be doing Touched by an Angel, Deceived by a Demon as our study. And so I decided to hold off on the next Ephesian message until after we've completed that. And instead, I've given you something else. We as a deacon board have been working on something called Preparing for Ministry. It's going to be eventually a course that we offer here for our church family. You've heard about it now for a year, and we haven't made the progress that we had hoped to make. However, one of the books that we're using is most likely going to be a primary text for that is Chuck Swindoll's book called So You Want to Be Like Christ. If you wanted to go ahead and get that book and start reading it, I would encourage you to do so. I haven't finished it yet, but what I've read has been very encouraging to me. And actually, it has been so encouraging that I wanted to share a part of that today. So in one of the chapters, there's just one little section of a chapter called The Faithful Show Up. And I just wanted to read for you that page out of this particular book. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy." Being trustworthy often means little more than showing up. Simply being ready and available, in season and out of season. Paul tells us it is required of a steward that he be found faithful, not necessarily fruitful or full of charisma or excited or brimming with optimism, but faithful. When Satan, the world, and your own hurt feelings say, "Stay at home, it ain't worth it," God has a better plan. Just show up. That's what the faithful do. They keep showing up. In the summer of 1995, Baltimore shortstop Cal Ripken Jr. brought the sports world to its feet by breaking a record that many people thought would stand forever. A record set by the legendary Lou Gehrig back in 1939. It was no great display of strength, speed, or accuracy. Just plain, old-fashioned faithfulness. On September 6th, 1995, Ripken showed up again, just as he had 2,130 consecutive times before. When Ripken walked onto the field to begin game 2,131, the ballpark thundered for 22 uninterrupted minutes as the crowd stood and applauded. Cal stood too. In classic Ripken style, slowly turning in a circle as he looked around the stadium. Then he did something wonderful. He walked over to his family and embraced each one of them. The victory was theirs too. What a great moment in sports history. No championship trophy, no dramatic final seconds triumph. This was simply a gracious public declaration to honor a man who faithfully did his job year after year. Cal Ripken Jr. showed up. That was a great encouragement to me. I'm no sports fan, but I was blessed as I read that. I wrote, how many of you read the church newsletter that comes out every month? Any of you? Okay, just a handful. If you're interested, by the way, it is on the front page of our website. So if you go to perumpcc.com, you can check, click on the newsletter link, and it'll open it right there for you, and you can read all of the newsletter. But I wrote in my October newsletter article that I am a plodder, P-L-O-D-D-E-R. That is one who plods. The dictionary offers two variations of the definition for the term plod. Number one, this isn't in your outlines, to walk doggedly and slowly with heavy steps. And number two, to plod is to work slowly and perseveringly at a dull task. I actually used my newsletter column to write an article or to share an article that was written by a man named Kevin DeYoung, and his article was entitled "Stop the Revolution, Join the Plodders." And I was greatly encouraged when I read this, his piece, and I wanted to encourage you in the same way today. So in this brief study that we're going to do this morning, I want to address the same concept that I'm calling the plotter's plan. And I've given you an outline there, a study guide that you can fill out as we go along. And you may find it helpful just to keep that handy in the years ahead as you find yourself plotting. Regarding those two definitions of the word plod, I'm going to be focusing primarily on the second one, which is to work slowly and perseveringly at a dull task. This could be an accurate picture of what is common in the Christian life. We could call it spiritual plodding. The first definition, however, is also sometimes the perspective of my personal Christian experience. That is to walk doggedly and slowly with heavy steps. At times, I may feel the fatigue and burden of trying to live faithfully for the Lord in a world that does not offer any support for such a life. And we're going to address that a little bit too this morning too. Consistent with our theme, there will be nothing earth-shattering in today's message. It is very unlikely that you are going to experience a wow moment during this message. This is old hat. But you may find some encouragement that helps you stay the course. So follow with me as we look at this plan. Number one, plotters keep their eyes on Jesus. Plotters keep their eyes on Jesus. And the reason is because, point A, the character of God includes perfect faithfulness. That's a part of who He is. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, "The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." This is a good reminder of who God is. In spite of the fact that we often sense God's character based on the way that we do things, when it comes to our faithlessness, God cannot be faithless. By nature, God is faithful. It is who He is. It is His character. So as we think about fixing our eyes or keeping our eyes on the Lord, keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping our eyes on God, we need to remember that this is who God is. His character is one of perfect faithfulness. And that brings me to point B. Plotters are motivated by God's faithfulness. Plotters are motivated by God's faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. And the first part of that verse, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope," is a reference to genuine faith. This entire message on plotters assumes that your faith is genuine. I'm not just telling anyone and everyone that if you just go out there and get the job done every single day, you're eventually going to get to heaven, because that would be misleading. That is not how you get to heaven. So I'm not trying to convince you just to be faithful in whatever you do and hope that that's good enough for God to say, okay, I'll let you in. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it has nothing to do with your faithfulness, and it has everything to do with who God is. God has provided salvation for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ is God. He died on the cross for none of His own sins, because He had none, but for ours. And God the Father accepted the sacrifice of God the Son on our behalf and raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Me." There's only one way to heaven, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have not yet put your faith in Christ, if you're hoping that a good life, faithfully plodding in your daily existence, trying to do good things for people, is going to get you into heaven, it's not going to work. The Scriptures are crystal clear on that. That's not how you achieve heaven. Heaven is a gift from God for those who choose to surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So let's get that clear right off the bat. If you have not yet made that commitment, this message is really not to you. The message to you is you need to surrender your life to Christ. You need to ask forgiveness for your sins and gain a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. That's the only way. But for the rest of us, and I expect that most of us here would say we've already made that commitment, for those who are truly born again, who have trusted in Christ as Savior, I'm reminding you to keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what this point's about. Because plotters are motivated by God's faithfulness. This is a part of God's character. It's who He is. We look to Jesus because He is a faithful God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 says, "May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." We look to Jesus Christ because He is faithful. And I am motivated by His faithfulness. Even though I can look at various people and I can see where they failed, where they gave up, where they decided it wasn't worth it, you can't find that in God. God is faithful. That's His character. Jesus Christ is faithful. So I'm motivated by that. If you're hoping to get all your motivation from other people, at some point you're going to be let down, and the likelihood is it's going to be a repeated story where you're constantly let down by other people. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus, that motivates us to continue to do what we know we're supposed to do, because Jesus is the model of enduring faithfulness. That's point C on your outlines. Jesus is the model of enduring faithfulness. From Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," this is a reference back to chapter 11, the Bible's great hall of faith, as it were, where we've got all these heroes of the faith who continued to be faithful to the Lord. "So we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Then let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance." This is an expression of plodding, of continuing to go the whole way. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." How? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. "Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." When we get discouraged, when we're finally ready to just give up, to throw in the towel, it's usually the time that we also stop looking at Jesus. And that just encourages us more, even more, to give it up. But if you want to be motivated, then whenever you have that inclination to quit, to throw in the towel, get back to the Word of God and fix your eyes on Jesus. And read passages like Hebrews chapter 12, where we can see that Jesus continued to endure no matter what was going on around Him, and indeed, all the way to death. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, because that's what plotters do. If you want to be a plotter, you fix your eyes on Jesus. Secondly, plotters are faithful in the little things. Plotters are faithful in the little things. So again, we're talking about faithfulness. God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Jesus Christ faithfully endured because that is His character. And the principal element of plotting is faithfulness, point A in your outlines. Plotters are faithful in the little things, and the principal element of plotting is faithfulness. That takes us back to the verse that Swindoll quoted, 1 Corinthians 4:2. "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." It is required of stewards. A steward is one who has been given a long-term responsibility to handle the affairs of another. Another word for steward could be manager. So a manager shows up and does his job, and that means that he is handling somebody else's property. He is handling somebody else's business. And if he is a good manager, if he is a good steward, then he will treat that as if it is his own, and he will be faithful with it. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. When it comes to our relationship with God, God has given us certain things, and we are stewards of those things. We are stewards of the gifts with which He has given us. He has blessed us with this personality that is being made new, with all of the things that God has given us in the material realm, as well as our spiritual abilities. All of these things are given to us, but they actually belong to God. It is required of stewards that they be found faithful with what they have been, with that which with they have been entrusted. As several of Jesus' parables make clear, this stewardship is often accomplished by simply faithfully plodding along every day. We just keep doing what He wants us to do. Point B, eternal blessings are connected to faithfulness in the little things. So we're talking about being faithful and doing what we're supposed to be doing as a steward. And now we see that eternal blessings are connected to faithfulness in the little things. And I share with you from Luke chapter 16, Jesus' words, Luke 16, starting with verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. This is a passage that begs for a message in and of itself, and I'm not going to do that today. Instead, I'm going to focus on this expression, one who is faithful in very little will be given true riches. Very little. What are we talking about in the very little? The little things. And this, in the context, has to do with money, if you read the story that Jesus tells. So we could start there. Little things, those who are being faithful, plodders are faithful in the little things. That includes small amounts of money. Most of us are not going to show up here on any given Sunday and think, you know, I just have more money than I know what to do with. We're just not in that boat. Instead, we make excuses. Well, I can't do that because I hadn't got enough money. I can't do this because I hadn't got enough money. I can't give this amount because I just don't have enough money. And God says we need to be faithful in little things, which means He's not telling you to give $1 million. You don't have $1 million, so He's not going to tell you to give $1 million. But He has given you something. So the question is, are you being faithful with the little? That little bit that you have, are you being faithful with that? That's what God is saying. A plotter is faithful in the little things. He takes whatever little amount of money he has, and he faithfully uses it for God's purposes in the way that he feels God is leading. It can also be a seemingly inconsequential job. Some of you may have jobs where you think, you know, what I do really makes no difference in the grand scheme of things. It makes no difference in the kingdom of God. But God asks, are you being faithful with the job that I've allowed you to have? It's a little thing. But what are you doing with it? It's something that I have entrusted to your care. How are you handling yourself with this particular job? It can be caring for little children. Now, I realize that I don't say a lot about nursery workers downstairs, but we get these nursery workers who sacrifice their time and energies in order to go down and care for little children and change dirty diapers and things like that. And the parents who come and pick them up, they may not say thank you. They might, but if they don't, it's probably just because they're too tired from the many times they've done it. And then there's people like me who stand up here and act like the nursery doesn't even exist. Well, I'm thankful for what they do down there. They are being faithful in the little things. And some of you who take care of children at home, you're faithful in little things. It may seem inconsequential, but this is important to God. It's something that God has entrusted to you, and He wants you to be faithful in that. Menial chores and tasks. You know, last night we had our chili cook-off over there, and it was a great time, fun time over there. Things ran a little bit later, but that's all right. And we were all gathered, and you know, it was beautifully decorated in there, wasn't it? Good job, Charlene, and all your crew. We really appreciate that. It was a crew. So they had tables set up. They had decorations all over. The chili contestants, they made all of their stuff and decorated on their tables. And Steve, congratulations on the table decorations. Oh, she gets the credit for that? Okay, so this reinforces my point. So we've got all of these beautiful things that were over there, and all of this room was filled up. It was great. And then as soon as I prayed, unfortunately, we were running behind. I ran out and started trying to get things ready for our family festival. And I didn't get back over there until we were finally cleaning up after all of the evening's events were over. So I go over there to do something, and I walk into this room that previously had tables and chairs everywhere and all kinds of activity. And this thing is spotless. The floor's even been swept. There's no chair. There's no table in sight. And some people did that behind the scenes because they were being faithful with the little things. Thank God for that. We sometimes feel like that these are insignificant things that we do, but God has given them to us as a responsibility, as a stewardship, and a steward should be found faithful. So those menial chores and tasks, and we're not just talking about here at church, we're talking about the things that many of you do at home on a daily basis. The things that you think, do I really want to do this again? You know, I'm just going to have to do it again tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. Are you faithful in the little things? The behind-the-scenes ministries that nobody's ever going to see, that nobody may ever comment on, that nobody will ever say, by the way, thank you for doing that. You may never hear those things, but it's a stewardship from God, and plotters are faithful. They do the little things. Faithful in the little things. And he says, what's going to be the result of that? One who is faithful in a very little, Jesus said, is also faithful in very much. And then he ends up verse 11 saying that you will be entrusted with true riches. Now, what are true riches? I'm not going to suggest to you that if you're faithful with your 10 bucks that God has entrusted to you, that he's not going to give you $1 million. Now, he might. It's not beyond him. He's done such things before. I'm just not saying that's the norm. What I am saying is that the true riches that he's talking about here probably have nothing to do with material wealth. He's talking about eternal things, things with eternal value. In other words, these plotters who are faithful in the little things are actually going to be entrusted with something of eternal value. And that's a wonderful blessing. A wonderful blessing. We read about that in the parable Jesus told in Matthew 25, verse 21, regarding the servant who was faithful. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. I want that. I want that commendation from my Savior. You have been faithful in a little. And then I want what he promised. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what I want. I want the joy of my master. I want the sense that what I have done has been noted by my Savior. And that even though he is the one that gave me the capacity to do it, and the energy to do it, the strength, the ability, even though he's the one that's given me all that, I want to be found faithful so I can go to him and say, look, Lord, this is what you gave me, and here's what I'm giving you back. And he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Number three, plotters keep on doing. Plotters keep on doing. Doing what, you probably ask. In the article that I quoted in the newsletter, Kevin DeYoung says, the best churches are full of gospel-saturated people holding tenaciously to a vision of godly obedience and God's glory and pursuing that godliness and glory with relentless, often unnoticed, plotting consistency. That was a mouthful, so I'm going to read it again. Just listen. The best churches are full of gospel-saturated people holding tenaciously to a vision of godly obedience and God's glory and pursuing that godliness and glory with relentless, often unnoticed, plotting consistency. That's what I'm talking about. Plotters keep on doing. They keep on doing. Plotters, point A, just keep doing what they're supposed to do. That's what this is about. Plotters just keep doing what they're supposed to do. Luke chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. I didn't put an end phrase on this. Keep on doing whatever I add there. I just put keep on doing because that's what Jesus said. Their master will find so doing when he comes. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what a plotter does. He keeps on doing what he's supposed to be doing. She keeps on doing whatever it is that God has given her to do. Plotters keep on doing. And because they keep on doing, they don't give up. Point B. Plotters don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." There's times when we want to give up. Plotters don't give up. Now, you may deal with the thoughts. You may struggle. You may feel that way. But if you're going to be a plotter with spiritual plotting, you keep going. You don't give up. Plotters keep on doing. Fourthly, plotters focus on the long game. Plotters focus on the long game. If you didn't know better, you'd think I had some enjoyment of sports by listening to today's message. But I'm not a sports guy. But I like some of this terminology. So plotters focus on the long game. In other words, it's not just what's happening right this second. It's where I'm going to go. It's what I eventually want to achieve. And because plotters focus on the long game, then regardless of how hard things get right now, plotters endure hardship. That's point A. Plotters endure hardship. And we read that in James chapter 1, verse 12, that says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." They remain steadfast under trial. That's hardship. Plotters endure hardship. On this side of glory, the Christian life will never be a nonstop series of beautiful vistas and exciting breakthroughs. Regardless of what books you may hear or speakers you listen to who claim that that's what the Christian life will be, I can assure you that is not reality. That is not the way the normal Christian life will be. There will often be extended times of mundane routine. Now, can anybody here relate to that? Okay, at least half of us can. This mundane routine, it just goes on every day, same old thing, same old path, every single day. There's going to be times of testing that are going to be anything but pleasant. And even though, yes, we're told to count it all joy, the truth is that that is a challenge that is included in the Scriptures because we are not naturally going to go there. We are going to count it misery. We are going to count it boredom at best, but not joy. Under such conditions, your plotting may switch to that first definition that I gave you. It may become that of walking doggedly and slowly with heavy steps. It's kind of like this. That's the way some of you come up the stairs there every single week. I watch you out there. I see what's going on. But you're here, right? Praise God. That's right. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes being a plotter means you're walking doggedly and slowly with heavy steps. But you're walking. Whatever those steps may look like. And although this particular type of plotting seems especially unglamorous and maybe even counterproductive, the truth is that such experiences are the classrooms of spiritual development. You are growing during those times. Those times when your heart says, "Don't keep doing this," and the Lord says, "Keep doing this," and you plod on with heavy, laborious steps, you are growing. You are learning. You are developing into what God wants you to be. These times take you beyond the need for transitory stimulation, just moments of excitement. And they help you grow these deep, deep roots that sustain you in times of drought, in times of storms, in times of fire. Because you have plodded on during the difficult times, those roots have grown deep. I realize we're mixing our metaphors, but this is the picture of Scripture, that our roots grow deeper and deeper. When we're going through these difficult times and it seems so dry, we just sink those roots deeper and deeper so that we are developing strength, endurance. We are developing a deepness in our relationship with God. And when the trials get even worse, we can handle that. And when the storms really hit, and when the fires come through tempting to just destroy us completely, we find ourselves being able to hold up in the midst of those things because Jesus Christ is our strength. And we've learned that through plotting. There's also likely going to be times of suffering and persecution that have the potential to scare you, to discourage you, and to convince you that it isn't worth the price. Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Things that you're about to suffer. Our brother Bob prayed for Tajikistan earlier, the believers there who were under intense persecution. In many places around the world, every week we pray for one of these places, and in many places around the world, there are people who take their lives in their hands just to stand up and say, "I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And they plod on, knowing that it could cost their lives. And folks, I'll say to you this morning, unless we see some drastic changes in the direction our country's going, we're getting there real quick. So it's coming. And when it comes, are we going to endure hardship? That's what plotters do. We need to hear the words of Jesus. "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. The devil's going to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested." If that happens to us, will our plotting have brought us to a point of depth and security and stability so that we're going to say, "I can do this by the strength of Jesus Christ"? Amen. And stay faithful? For 10 days, he says, you're going to have tribulation. Then he concludes, keep plotting. Okay, it doesn't say that. It says, be faithful, but it means keep plotting. Be faithful, keep plotting unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Keep plotting, even unto death. And admittedly, when you reach that point, those are slow and heavy steps. It's a challenge, but you keep going. That's what plotters do. And you see, it isn't just about the here and now. As we see in point B, the plotters are preparing for eternity. This goes back to our fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're looking for the long game. We're preparing for eternity. I'll take you again to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 42. Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." And then he says, verse 44, "Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." So there's a pretty heavy warning there from Jesus that in light of what he has done for us, we better be faithful with what he has given us. But I want to go back to verse 44 and focus on this beautiful truth. "Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." You see, plotters are preparing for eternity. And when it comes to what God is going to give us in eternity, I know that kind of the common expression, even within Christian circles, is, you know, you're faithful to God, and when you get to heaven, you get this great big mansion. And I don't think that's a biblical picture. Yes, God's gone to prepare a place for us, but you know where we're going to live in heaven? That's irrelevant. The message that we're getting here in terms of preparing for eternity is being a faithful servant to whom God is going to grant more responsibility. And some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I thought I was going to finish my work here. No, you're not. God has prepared us to do His will, to do His work. The difference is going to be once we get to glory, then that work is going to be a forever joy instead of whatever it is you're experiencing right now. There's going to be joy there. And so for us to show up in glory and for Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with that little bit that I gave you. And now I have this wonderful responsibility for you. I don't know what heaven's going to look like, but I know it's not going to be sitting around on clouds playing harps. God's got things for us to do, and it's going to last for eternity, and it's going to be glorious. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm preparing that for that now. How? By plotting when I don't feel like plotting. By keeping on moving ahead when I feel like sitting down and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, but I've had enough. I'm going to keep on moving ahead. Additionally, because I don't know when that time's going to come, then point C, plotters strive to produce plotters. If I'm the last generation, this church is in trouble. This world is in trouble. Instead, we need to train others because there has to be another generation and another after that as long as the Lord delays His coming. A plotter's faithfulness involves communicating the truth to others so that they too can learn to be plotters. We read in 2 Timothy 2:2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to plotters who will be able to teach others also. Okay, it doesn't say plotters. It says entrust to faithful men. Faithful men are plotters. That's what we've been talking about today. A plotter is a faithful man, a faithful woman who is doing the right thing. And according to what Paul told Timothy, you need to take this same message for which you are plotting forward, moving ahead. You need to take this same message and you need to entrust it to other people who can also learn to be plotters. And they're going to follow your example. They're going to follow your lead. They need to fix their eyes on Jesus, but we learn by following others. We see what they're doing and how they're doing it. We glean from them those truths that have been so dear to their hearts and see what motivates them. And we learn from that example. And then these whom we are bringing up are going to become the next generation to be plotters. Well, I want to conclude this morning with a simple admonition. The Apostle Paul's partner, Barnabas, was an encourager. According to Acts 4:36, his name was actually Joseph, but he was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, because anybody he talked to apparently came away encouraged. Acts 11 relates how he encouraged fellow believers in Antioch. And the exhortation of Barnabas is my exhortation of encouragement to you today. So in conclusion, be faithful and keep plotting. It's a simple message, a simple admonition. Be faithful and keep plotting. Now listen to the passage, Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. To remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose means be faithful and keep plotting. That was Barnabas' message. In Kevin DeYoung's article, he says, our jobs are often mundane. Our devotional times often seem like a waste. Church services are often forgettable. That's life. We drive to the same places, go through the same routines with the kids, buy the same groceries at the store, and share a bed with the same person every night. Church is often the same too. Same doctrines, Same basic order of service. Same preacher. Same people. But in all the smallness and the sameness, God works. Lord, I thank you for encouraging us today to be plotters. I'm convinced that all of us need this message, because there's times, perhaps regular times, where we find ourselves discouraged and on the verge of wanting to give up, wanting to quit, where Satan tempts us to say, that's enough, why don't you just throw in the towel? And Lord, that's not what you've called us to do. You've called us to be plotters. I pray that if there are any here right now who have never received Christ as Savior, that they would recognize that I'm not telling them that if they just try harder, they can get to heaven. No, the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. And those who have not made that commitment can do so even right now by praying a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I believe Jesus is God. I believe He lived a perfect life on earth. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He was raised from the dead. And I believe He is the only way to heaven. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. And make me your child. Lord, if there's any here today that prayed that prayer, I pray that even before leaving here, they would come and share with me that they've asked Jesus to forgive their sins and to be their Savior. We would rejoice together, and I know the angels of heaven rejoice. And I pray that if there are any who are debating making that commitment, that this day would not come to a close before they've made themselves right with you. And for my brothers and sisters who have already made this commitment, and Lord, every day we need the encouragement to be plotters. We need the encouragement to continue to try to live for Jesus and to be like Jesus. I pray that we would go away from here with a renewed sense of being faithful to you day in and day out, through the difficult times and through the boring times, through the routine times, as well as through the joyous times. May we be like Jesus in our faithfulness. For we pray in His name. Amen.